a chance, and it was Aldridge and Hutton. 1-0.
Tuesday Night Sport on Near FM, every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m.
I'm delighted to say on the line we have Ian O'Riordan of the Irish Times. How are you doing, Ian?
Yes, good evening, Neil.
I read your article the other day about the Russian doping scandal. For those who haven't been following it, they've just seen the headlines. Can you give us a kind of overview of the backstory to this?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, when it comes to athletics or track and field or cycling or whatever, there's been a lot of talk of dark days in sport, and especially when it comes to doping. But I certainly think what came out yesterday was right up there. I mean, whatever about, you know, we talked about athletes in the past, a Lance Armstrong or a Ben Johnson or whatever, but nothing on the scale of this where, you know, you had the athletes, you had the coaches, you had the labs, all the way up to the IAAF, the governing body athletics, all seem to be in cahoots for the sole reason of allowing athletes who were taking performance-enhancing drugs to compete, not just at the London Olympics, but going back to the World Championships in Moscow. So I think the pure scale of it certainly hasn't seen, you know, you got to go back to the old East Germany days when, again, it was part of the regime. But you'd like to think things that, you'd like to thought things have moved on since then, and, you know, with the level of testing and the level of so-called transparency in sport, and just look, you know, the pure fear factor alone that you might get caught would have erased a lot of that. But instead, seems to be a scale of drugs in sport that I certainly haven't seen before, and has been a real blow to the credibility of the sport. Yes.
Yeah, and the origin of the expose of this, interestingly enough, comes from a German TV documentary. Is that right? Can you tell us a little bit of how it all happened?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You think, you know, what can journalists make a difference? But that's exactly what happened. It was a German TV maker, Harald Seppelt, who does a lot of work for German TV, and he made a documentary about how Russians win, and talked to a few of whistleblowers. But he was very difficult, I suppose, when you see something on television, and to sort of make a whole lot of claims after that. But on the back of that, then WADA, who were the World Anti-Doping Agency, set up an independent commission led by Dick Pound, a former WADA chairman, and they very quickly found clear evidence of as I say, that the labs were destroying samples, that coaches were quite literally demanding athletes to take drugs, and literally the house of cards started to fall down then. And then it went all the way up to the IAAF, where the former president, Liam Diak, was now under arrest, effectively, for suspicions of being of taking bribes. So it really does ask the question, like, how did it ever get to the stage where, you know, a country as big as Russia was allowed to operate a clearly legitimate sporting regime like this? And the word that Dick Pound used in the report was they sabotaged the London Olympics. They finished second to only the Americans on the medal table, but cleared up on the track and field, winning a lot of events, and including the 50-kilometre walk, where our own Robert Heffernan finished fourth on the day. And I remember being there, and the guy was heartbroken, and we're all heartbroken. And it turns out now that, if there's any justice at all, he will be promoted to that bronze medal. So some people might say that's a bit of a silver lining, but it's still, I think it's not going to be the same for Rob. It'll be great, yeah, if he gets the medal, but I think that really brings it all back home that, you know, we were denied possibly one of the great moments in our sport, you know, a guy winning a medal in the Olympics, but instead we're all sort of, you know, heartbroken for him. So it is, it's sad, but I mean, I suppose the only way you've got to take any encouragement out of it is, like, at least now the dirt is out. At least, yeah, now the truth is out. And, you know, whatever you say about Sebastian Coe, I certainly think he's got a little bit more credibility than some of the guys who were in there before. Now, whether he can ever turn it around and go back to the days when he can just start believing in track and field again, I don't know how long that's going to take. But certainly right now, I think there's a big question mark over, A, why the Russians were getting away with it, and B, were they the only ones?
Yeah, that brings me to my next question, because I think it was Dick Pound, and you have it in your article. He says, we don't think Russia is the only country with a doping problem, and athletics is not the only sport with a doping problem. So on the first bit, how widespread do you think it is, without getting into idle speculation?
Yeah. Well, you see, I mean, look, again, like, there is a lot of speculation out there, and it's funny, we always said the Russians, we use that word dodgy when it comes to performances, because there were some performances they were just off the charts, especially, yeah, in the walks, and then there was a lot of those athletes were getting done over the years. So, you know, you've always had your suspicions about Russia, that's just the reality. And, you know, and there were suspicions out there as well. We all know the suspicions about Jamaica. You know, they lost a lot, they missed a lot of tests before London, and then there's a lot of talk now coming out of Kenya. And again, that same documentary maker you mentioned, Howard Seppelt, went down to Kenya and found pretty clear evidence as well that there was stuff going on there, doctors selling drugs to athletes literally off the back streets. Now, that wasn't included in this report or this investigation, but I'm pretty sure that if there was anything similar done down in Kenya, they would find pretty, pretty unpleasant stuff. And likewise, I mean, if the Russian labs, I mean, if the main testing lab in Russia is destroying samples for athletes, you can be pretty sure that was going on in other sports. Like, why would they just let their athletes away with it, you know? I mean, whether it's cyclists, swimmers, football players, rugby players, who knows? And I mean, again, that's not speculation. That's just common sense to say they're not just going to single out one sport. That there have to be more going on here than just athletics, because it just there's no reason why they're going to stop and start there.
And what does this say about, I suppose, the role of journalism against and with the role of administrators, sports administrators? This is not the first time. Obviously, you have the Lance Armstrong, which was pretty systematic as well, in the U.S. Postal Team. David Walsh, amongst many others, was involved in that. And again, here we have effectively where it has to be a journalist that first exposes this, obviously, and then is backed up with WADA.
Yeah, no, a good point and a good comparison, because you're absolutely right. I mean, Lance Armstrong very nearly caught away with it if it wasn't for, you know, a lot of the question that was originally put out there by David Walsh, and then eventually it was the effectively the FBI which went after him after the American anti-doping investigation originally broke down, and then the federal people went after him. So you're right. I mean, it goes to show there is still a great role for journalism, and I suppose I'd encourage you to sort of keep asking the hard questions, even if the authorities, as you say, aren't doing it. But at the same time, you've got to be careful as well, because there has been other stuff recently, and there's a lot of stuff that came out over the summer there, the Sunday Times, about various blood samples and all of that, which I think was a slightly different one, because you can't be sort of tarnishing everybody. You have to be kind of careful. And as you say, you know, I mean, I've always been a great fan of Kenyan distance running, and I certainly don't think Kenyans are all dirty, but I think there's some problems with some Kenyan performance, the depth of them and that. So while I wouldn't sort of question other aspects of track and field, and I think it is still possible to win. And I think if you look at someone like a Rob Heffernan, I mean, he effectively is an Olympic medalist, and you know, but it's taken him four or five Olympics to get to that stage. And you'd hope it wouldn't damage the credibility of the sport, but it's again, it couldn't come at a worse time, because you now have a situation where there's probably going to be more bad news coming down the tracks. If SEBCO is serious about cleaning up the sport, then he can't just say, right, that's it. He's going to have to look at Kenya. He's going to have to look at Jamaica. And maybe some other countries too, and see what's going on there. And then we could reach a situation where you get to the Rio Olympics next summer, and you know, there may not be the sort of the level of performance that we've used to. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but you know, can the sport survive without its big stars? And I suppose that's the big question here. Like, can it actually gonna get back to the level where it has the superstars who are breaking world records in any sort of credible way?
And do you think we'll move to a position, I know there's an awful lot of people are calling for Russia to be banned, do you think we'll move from where previously it would have been athletes that were banned on the back of failed tests to now that a whole athletics team, and in this case a whole country, is banned from competing in the Olympics?
Well, I think it has to be. I mean, clearly the system we've had is not working. And you know, people always said someone like Ben Johnson was used as a kind of a scapegoat, and that they were all out, and they just used him to say, well, look, we're catching the bad guys. So, yeah, it's clearly not working, and I think there has to be an example. I mean, but without trying to stand up for Russia, I mean, I certainly don't think they're the only ones. Yeah. You have to be careful about banning countries until you're pretty sure that there's no one else about it. And the same with sports. Like, I mean, I guarantee you, if WADA did the same sort of investigation into, let's say, you know, other sports, or, you know, like, I mean, we all know what was going on in FIFA, the corruption there. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, you know, so it doesn't take a sort of an investigative journalist to figure out, well, hang on, was stuff going on like this in FIFA as well? You know, so, but you're right. I think we're all getting a bit sick of these stories, including myself. And I think you reach the point where the general public just kind of go, I mean, you know, what's going on here? Why can't they clear it up? And I mean, I still think sport has that role to play, and it's always been the great leveler. And people talk about, sure, look, you know, maybe we should just let them all out of it, and sport is now just entertainment anyway. But I mean, you have to have rules, you have to have fair play, and you have to have the level playing field. And I don't think you can give up the war or give up the battle or whatever it's called. But it's there certainly seem to be losing it at the moment. And
clearly that would be a health and safety. I know I hear an awful lot of people say that, but like, this could be 16, 17, 18 year olds being pressurized into taking drugs. So we don't know what their reaction to or what that's, the long term effects on their health is going to be. Clearly that really is a nonsense argument if someone throws it up there.
It is. It's pure mischief. And I look again, I mean, I can see why they make that point, because I mean, you know, there'll never be a day where sport will be drug free. And you can say the same, because it's the same argument, we'll never have a society without crime. And I think that's a valid point, because there'll always be people in parts of the world who just want to take an unfair advantage. And that's why we'll have testing, and that's why we'll have, you know, that's why we'll have bans, whatever. But you need proper governance as well. You need a proper government, people who are not going to be corrupt, who aren't going to, like, throw away samples, who aren't going to take bribes so athletes can compete in the Olympics. So, I mean, it's one thing to have a crime in society, but it's another thing just to let the criminals get away with it. And at the moment, certainly in Russia, it was a case of there was a crime and they were being let get away with it by the government. So if that's not a reason to ban the country, well, I don't know what is, but it's certainly not a reason to say, well, look, they're all at it, so let's just let them at it, and, you know, and hope for the best. But it's certainly, you know, it's certainly going to be a long road back. And I mean, I'm a big fan of sport. I know the sport still has a lot of supporters, but it does reach a point where you do start to question a lot more stuff, and you do kind of wonder now, you know what, maybe we're just being a bit naive here, and maybe actually it is a lot more widespread than even the Russian report is suggesting.
Hi, Ian, it's Mark.
Yes, good evening.
How you doing? And I'm just thinking, I mean, in this report, as you mentioned, you know, it was clearly stated that Russia aren't the only country doping, and athletics isn't the only sport. Events like the Olympic Games, the World Cup, all of these massive global sport events generate billions and billions and billions of dollars. Is it the case now, do you think, that a blind eye has been torn for too long to the corruption, the doping and everything else that happens within organisations like FIFA, whether it be athletics federations or whatever, in pursuit of the amount of money that these events generate, and now we have to maybe step back and say, hold on a minute, lads, we've lost sight of what the true nature of a sport is here?
Yeah, I mean, again, there's no doubt that hasn't helped. As you say, the TV, the audiences, and all the big money sponsors have come in, and you know, there's a lot of stakeholders here. There's a lot of people who need, you know, to fill the stadiums, sell the ads to TV, and look, we've seen it recently in the Rugby World Cup, and I mean, again, I'm not suggesting for one second that rugby has got a major doping problem, but when you have a new event like that, and it's growing all the time, new countries coming in, and you know, and there's not one athlete fails a doping test during the Rugby World Cup. Now, again, that may well be because there is no such thing as doping in rugby, but I don't think that you can watch that game anymore and kind of go, well, they're all clean. But look, rugby's at a different level in its development and all that, but the point you make is valid, because, I mean, where's rugby going to be in, say, 10, 15 years? If it keeps growing, and if players keep getting bigger, and if the sport keeps getting tougher, well, you can be pretty sure that there's going to be, and there's more money at stake, there'll be a great temptation, and that's why World Rugby need to be very careful, need to be very vigilant, and they certainly want to be quite clear that if there is any doping problem in rugby, they want to get it out on the table now before it gets to the stage where track and field or cycling got to. But no, I mean, I still think it's possible to have global sport in the way that we enjoy it. I don't think a lot of those team sports have the same level of doping as the individual sports, because that's by the very nature. And I think, you know, but that's not to say they need to be as vigilant and on guard and just make sure that they don't ever reach a stage where athletics has just reached.
Yeah, well, what we've seen, of course, with what's happened in FIFA over the last few months is the sponsors, they take their time, they review all the evidence, and then the sponsors in the FIFA scandal have brought an awful lot of pressure to bear. Do you expect the sponsors might have something to say now to the IAAF and the International Olympic Committee?
Again, you'd hope so. You'd really hope so, yeah. I mean, you'd hope it wouldn't damage the sport, but, I mean, it's not the case now. I mean, if you are, you know, and the IAAF has some pretty high-profile sponsors, but you'd certainly expect them to kind of stand back and say, "Look, you know, we're not getting good publicity out of this," and pull the plug. And the same when it comes to you know, the Olympic Games, they get a big share of the TV rights. And again, these are the kind of things which need to happen, but they can only happen when the governance of the sport, such as the IAAF, are legit. And as long as they've clearly been, you know, and whatever way you want to put it, whether they've just been, I think they've been described as sort of rogues within the association, but they clearly got away with it for too long. And, you know, it's very difficult then to sort of go back to your sponsors and say, well, we didn't know about it and defend that. So yeah, you'd hope so, but it's all down the road, I suppose, when it comes to like, you know, finding the solution. And maybe you know, there's an opportunity right now, and the opportunity we have right now is to use Russia maybe as an example. If that's what it takes, and say, look, you're gone, and you're not going to be in Rio, and then other countries kind of go, okay, this is not good, because now we're going to lose out on a lot of money, and then ideally the situation you've explained will not happen, whereby sponsor will stay on board for the right reasons. But I don't know. I think it's a tough one, and you know, you really wonder where it's going to go from here. But at least WADA seem to be doing their job, and they're not afraid to take on Russia, and you know, which is, let's be honest, one of the superpowers of sport, and they've been really embarrassed by some of the coverage over the last 24 to 48 hours. And I say there's a lot of people in Russia now going, you know, we're not happy with this, and you know, this cannot happen again. So look, maybe it is a turning point in some ways, but unfortunately there are other countries, I still think, with a few things swept under the carpet.
And Ian, finally, do you think the Seb Coe is the person to leverage this turning point or this scandal to clean up the sport once and for all? Or does he have questions to answer himself?
Yeah, I know. It's a strange one, because, I mean, you'd hope so. I mean, I'd say that with more hope than confidence, because, I mean, Coe's been in there for, you know, I mean, he's been vice president, he's been on the IWF panel, and I just find it a little bit strange that, you know, they not only suspected something, but he just didn't know something. So, but yeah,
Is that plausible? Is that plausible without I don't know.
It possibly is because like, I mean, it only is, you know, after all, it only is, you know, it's not, again, we don't know how widespread it is now, you know. I mean, it may be only the Russians were actually giving bribes to her. We don't know about that. But I would certainly think that, you know, I do find it hard to believe that he didn't have his own suspicions about the level of already abnormal tests that were coming out of Russia, and why he didn't sort of, you know, flag that one earlier on or whatever. So I think he knows himself that he hasn't come out of it very well. But I still think Coe was in the sport for the right reasons, and he does care about it. And you know, if he didn't, he'd walk away. He doesn't necessarily need the job. So again, I'd be hopeful. Would I be confident? Well, maybe if you ask me that question in 6 months' time, I might have a bit more to know. If he sticks to his guns now and says to Russia, you know, you're not coming into the Olympics, and at least shows a little bit of power. And he hasn't. I don't think he's shown that yet, unfortunately.
And finally, I'm going to just ask you one more question in relation to a sport where there is not big money or big business. You covered Kula at the weekend. Do you think they're a good bet to win the Leinster Championship and possibly go on to win the Club All-Ireland?
Well, one of the things that did impress me was their athleticism. They're a really fit team. They're really fast, and I think they basically just ran the legs off Kildare, who were probably a bit more of a sort of a old school physical type hurling team. Yeah, they've got a tough game now on Sunday against the Kilkenny Championship. Yeah. Equally fit, and but I mean, it's their third game in 3 weeks. But their advantage is they are a very fit team. So if they can keep that going, I'd say they might surprise a few people. But they've done great to get this far, and they're a young team as well. So I mean, if it's not this year, I suspect they'll be around, knocking around for the next couple of years. And it's definitely a good time for the donkey side of town, let's say.
Great stuff, Ian. Chat to you again. Thanks very much.
Cheers. Thanks. Thanks.
By Sanson, it goes Aldridge and Hudson. 1-0.
Tuesday Night Sport on Near FM, every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m.